What does Ezekiel mean? The name tells you everything. Does no one remember? Aha! Did you have that written down? Oh, okay. Well, at least you have it written down. Praise God. God is my strength. He's my... He's not just my strength. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and soul and strength. He's not just my capacity to love God with all my heart, soul, and strength, but also my neighbor as myself. That kind of strength, that kind of glory, that kind of honor that we've been given by God, you are now God's children. You are the children of the living God, not in the future, now. You're now the children of the living God. Isn't that amazing? Good news. Why? I don't know. It's good news. I like it that God loves me. Now God can hear me. Okay. He's electronic. He has his iPhone. He's listening. So since that's true, that God wants you to have strength, because that strength isn't from you. That strength comes from heaven. That's heavenly miraculous strength to do the things of God, only you don't do them. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He gives you the strength so that now you have the capacity, you have the ability to do the works of God, only you don't do them. Actually, he does them for you on Calvary. Then he does them in you right now, and then he does them through you so that men, when they see your good works, they will give glory not to you, but to your Father in heaven that did those works, because they're God wrought, not wrought by you. Not wrought by you. So, you know what makes that happen? It's that the salt, you remember you're the salt of the earth, not the world, not the world of men, not the human portion that lives on the earth, not the dwellers. But the earth belongs to God, and it won't end until it ends. It's temporal, and then we'll get a new heaven and a new earth. But it'll be purified because we'll be the inhabitants. And we're actually that which God is aiming for, because he's building us up till we become pure and spotless and a bride. So he's our Savior, he's our Lord, he's our bridegroom, he's our all in all. And everything you need. He's the cornerstone, he's the mediator, he's everything you need. He's the builder, whose builder and maker is God. He's building you. Not this building. He's not building a building. You're the building he's building. The kingdom of God is within you, not outside of you. When you have an outside religion, which all religions are, except ours. All the religions are external, visible to this world. That's why you know they're false. And that's because in the Garden of Eden, Eve was tempted. And then she said the serpent beguiled her. She was deceived, tempted, and then she lost the spirit, which was in her heart. She had a heart. Her heart was filled with the Holy Spirit from God up in heaven. And Jesus said, well, I'm born from above. I'm not of this world. I'm born from above. And the Father sent me here to restore what the enemy hath taken away from you. And now you have a new heart. And now by faith, you actually live the holy life, and you don't need to see it. You can't see it. As a matter of fact, you can't see it. Everything is invisible to us. All we have is the Bible. And everything in the Bible is not visible. Everything in the Bible is from heaven. And so you're reading about a world that's yet to come, and you haven't even been there. And you're believing in it by faith because it's somebody else telling you that, and you believe his word, and you trust in God to bring to pass the thing that he promised, because everything is built on a promise. It's a promise because it's in the future. Promissory notes all relate to the future, not the present. But the promise is not only that, you also have a promise of life now because you got a new heart. And you don't see your new heart, but you have a new heart, but you don't see it. And yet it's real because it's in heaven. And so now you're a new creation, kine katesis in Hebrew, Greek, but that new creation, you're no longer Jew. You're no longer Gentile. You're no longer black. You're no longer white. You're no longer anything. You're a new creation. You're not part of this world. You're not part of the nature. You're not part of that anymore, but you don't see it. But someday he will come back, and when he comes back, you'll see him as he is. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he appeareth, you shall see him as he is. King of kings, Lord of lords. He'll be the priest. We'll be priests. He'll be the king. We'll be kings. We'll all be sons of God. But you're already that way now by faith. But someday you'll see it and you'll know it. And you'll have the feelings, and you'll have the mind will be renewed, and the flesh will be gone, and the spirit will be ruling over you forever and ever and ever. So we're already a Head Start program. We've already started because you're born again. But do you see everything? No. It's donum partum, but not donum totum. You don't see the total. You only see it partially. We see in a mirror dimly, Paul says. So you see in the mirror dimly because you can't see it fully. In fact, the best is yet to come. You haven't even seen the best yet. Have you ever ridden on a cloud all the way up into heaven? No, you haven't yet. Are you ready to ride on a cloud? I've never ridden on a cloud. You can see them out the window. You can see them out the plane. You can look out. Wow, that's a cloud. But someday we'll be riding on the clouds. Why? Because Jesus said that. He said that. He said, someday you'll have the capacity to not only believe by faith in somebody else, not you. He is your love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. He's all those things. That's not you. That's the God that lives in you. And he's already in you because you have a new heart. So that new heart is you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You in Christ, the hope of glory. So since you're one already in the heart, you're still not one in the soul, because your soul has to die. How many know that's good news? Oh, the gospel of dying. The gospel of suffering. Isn't that exciting? Oh, man, that is exciting. Wow. We get to die. You're born to die, to resurrect. If you don't have death, you can't resurrect from the dead, like Jesus. And you can't do that unless you're born. So you have to be born, then you have to die, then you have to rise again. Woohoo! Isn't that exciting? So this strength that Ezekiel's giving us is that he's called the Son of Man. He's called the Son of Man. Prophets are often called the Son of Man. And we can all be sons of men because we're born again. We're not part of this creation. We're part of heaven. Heaven, the kingdom of God is within you. And you get that new heart, then you get the new soul, then you get the new body. And he's showing us every day your sin, your sin, your sin. Your nakedness. In other words, Adam and Eve saw that they were naked. They were naked because they weren't clothed with the glory of God. They needed to be clothed in his righteousness, not yours. Christianity isn't you behaving, it's God keeping his promise. Christianity is not you behaving, behavioral modification. No, he doesn't want that. He hates that. Christianity is Jesus doing it for you, and then in you, and then through you, so that men, when they see your good works, they'll give glory to your Father, which is in heaven. Because you didn't do it. They were God wrought. They weren't flesh wrought. So you're either born of the Spirit, if you're born again, or you're born of the flesh, and those are the only two. Those are the only two. You're either born of the flesh, which everyone is, and then you get born of the Spirit, and there's our glory, there's our power, there's our capacity, there's our strength that we have, that this man, as son of man, had. King David was called a son of man. Son of man is anyone great in this world, anyone that has strength to be able to accomplish the things that they intend. Now you have that. Now what you intend is to please God and to do his will. You intend to please God. Say that. I do intend to please God and do his will. Let's say that again. I do intend to please God and do his will. As a Christian, you're a Christian. You do it by faith. You don't see it. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. If you saw it, it wouldn't be by faith. You'd see it. Someday you'll come back and you'll see it. Then you'll be you. You already are you, but then you'll see that you is actually real. It's more real than anything on the earth. So anything on the earth is not real. I don't believe in anything in this world. Man is not the measure of all things. God is. God is the measure of everything. God is the measure of everything. In my life, I was under an illusion when I began to go to school. My illusions went away. That's called disillusionment. I was illusional. Now I became disillusioned. In other words, I don't believe now in this world. I don't believe in man. I don't believe in humanism. I don't be in man at his best state, which is altogether vanity. And every time I studied something like psychology, I was telling this to Peg, I knew it was wrong. I knew there was no such thing as psychology. Man at his best state. You can't do anything good. I knew that by my own life. I didn't even need to look at other people doing bad. I could see in my own life, I didn't do anything good. I was kind of like my sister here. Bad person. And I was just like that, only I enjoyed it. I don't know if you enjoyed it, but I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. You enjoyed it also. That we're two peas in the pod. And so, everybody is born in sin. Did you know that? I had an illusion that, people could be good. I was bad. I chose bad. I wanted to be bad, and I was bad. And I couldn't stop being bad. I like being bad, and I'm going to keep doing it until I met Jesus, and then he ruined me. He ruined my whole life. I had a wondrous life. I mean, I was going to go somewhere, and now I'm a nothing. I'm just a pastor. And I've made out of nothing, and I became nothing. I was naked. I didn't have the Spirit within me. But now that Jesus restored the Spirit, I'm somebody. Somebody Jesus loves with all his heart and all his soul and all his strength. Not just God, but he also loves us that way. I'm his beneficiary. I'm the one he loves me so much. That is so amazing to me, because I was a scoundrel. Could I hear an amen? Amen? All of us are that way. We're all naked because we lost our spirit until you become clothed again. Renew your mind. your mind, just get it emptied of all the flesh that's in it. Get your will emptied of all the flesh that's in it. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I've met people, even Christians, that still want pleasure in this world. I can't think of anybody, but I do know some Christians. They just want pleasure, physical, emotional, intellectual. They're just into the, they love this world more than they love God. I have Christians. I don't know Christians. They're born again, but still, they love this world. They want to combine the two. And a love of this world will always lead to idolatry, seeking pleasure from man. Idolatry is anything and anyone in this world that's just temporal, that'll pass away. You make that eternal. You make that your whole life, mammon. And so there's a lot of people in Dallas-Fort Worth that see that we're going to be great again, according to Trump. And man, they want to cash in on that. They want to cash in. But then poor Hillary and Bill and Obama, because they loved mammon in this world. At least Christians don't say that. They just do it. They're really after pleasure. They want to have pleasure and then avoid pain. And you know what? They end up with pain. Every time you seek pleasure, you get pain. I'm going to say that again. Every time you seek pleasure, because, you know, you should be happy. You're a Christian. But every time you seek pleasure for yourself, not from God, but from things on earth, you lose everything. Then you're idling. You want people to worship you. You want to get glory. You want to get honor. You want to get worship from people. Is anyone here like that? Could anyone admit that? Because it's not a very good Christian if you do that. But if you, does anyone want pleasure and avoid pain? Well, you'll find pain. And so that delights me. Actually, when people call up and say, Pastor, I'm in trouble right now. Could you pray for me? Yahoo! I say, I'm so glad you're in trouble. You're naked. You're naked before God. You got guilt all over. And I'm not going to pray for you, because just stay in your trouble. Just keep your trouble. Let's just rejoice, first of all, that you're in trouble. That you're naked before God. Woohoo! And usually they can't say that. So I said, no, say Yahoo. 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 No. Like, see, listen to me. Yahoo! Yahoo. No, not like that. And I'll give you one more chance to say it. Yahoo! They can't say it. They just can't say it because they're mad, and they only called me because they were in trouble. They only called me because they were in touch with pastors or trouble undoers. You know, no. Keep your trouble. Did you know you could keep your trouble? Jesus' first sermon on earth, first sermon, happiness. Makarioi, that's the Greek, makarioi. That means jump up in the air, do a pirouette, land on your feet and say hallelujah. I mean, it's like that kind of joy, not just, you know, oh, I got a job, I got a raise. You know, it's not like that. This is really exciting. So makarioi, and Jesus started out with this word, makarior, blessed are those that are poor. That's funny. That's funny. He didn't get the job that day. He didn't get the job that day as being the minister. You know, they didn't. The team was there to say, let's see if Jesus will be our minister. Golly, I don't even know what he said. He said, happy are those that are poor. I like Luke. It's poor in spirit, but just poor. That's not happy. Poor in spirit, that's not happy either. Well, then he went on to improve it. So he said, happy are those that mourn. That's not happy. That's not happy. Well, then he went on to say, and blessed are those who abuse you. That's not happy. and speak all kinds of evil falsely on my account. That's not happy. Everything he said that's happiness wasn't happy. And people wondered, what is this guy talking about? I don't understand Jesus. He's talking about happiness, and he gave the wrong sermon. Imagine that guy going home that day, and the wife said, you know, what did he talk on today? Happiness. Wow, that's good. No, it wasn't. I mean, actually, everything he said was wrong. He lost the debate. I mean, we're not gonna have him for our pastor because he's mixed up. He's crazy. He's crazy. I don't think I'm going back. What did Jesus mean? Here's what he meant. Why? How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. What he meant was, you're in a bad situation, but I'm here as your Savior to rescue you out and deliver you from evil. I'm here. So you can have any problem in your life, I'm here to heal you. I'm here to save you. I'm here to give you wisdom. I'm here to do anything you need because I love you. And the Father himself loveth you. That's strength. That's the kind of strength we need today. Amen? That everything you're going through is actually a blessing in disguise. It's disguised up to look like a problem, but it's actually an opportunity for a miracle. Everything's going my way. Zippity-doo-da, zippity-a, my oh my, what a wonderful day. And I wake up every morning, it irks Peggy, but I wake up every morning happy. She said, don't do that. Peg, get up. This is the day, hey, this is the day that the Lord has made. And so that doesn't impress her. But now she's beginning to wake up and almost gives a good report. Almost. Not quite. Well, I had a bad night last night, and so on and so forth. That's not true. Here's the truth. This is the day. You know what day it was? The day of his crucifixion. That's what he's talking about. That's why he started it the night before, Thursday night. And it went all the way, because Thursday night is actually Friday night for Hebrews. It begins in the evening and then ends the next day at sunset. That's the way it is. And so he actually said, this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Isn't that exciting? So happiness is what God wants for everybody all the time. How many have that? Not many. Because they're trying to do for God rather than let God do for you. Ask not what your country, you know, that's all nonsense. They're trying to make you work and be a big good patriot or whatever. That works for this world, but it stinks in the nostrils of God. We have a better message. Ours is founded on better promises. That I don't want you to do anything for me, Isaac. He is speaking to his son Yitzhak, Isaac. He shall laugh. He shall laugh. It means, name your son, he shall laugh. Because you don't realize Isaac is the one that will make you laugh. Why? Because he's laughing at all his problems. He just turns his back on his problems. Just turns his back on the problems. Looks up to Jesus. And so Isaac, he said, well, here's the fire, here's the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering, Dad? He said, my son, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering. In other words, God will do everything. In other words, you don't do anything. In other words, just be yourself. Just be yourself. As a matter of fact, comfort yourself. That's what repent means. Repent doesn't mean stop doing bad and start doing good, because nobody can start doing good, because nobody can stop being bad. There's not a person ever born. And some of you know what I'm saying. Some of you don't. Huh? But, you know, the huh is wrong. Because everyone is bad. I mean, everybody, from the time you're two, If I had all two-year-olds in this church and I would say, did anyone do wrong today? Everyone would say, yes. What did you do? Pinched my sister, hit my brother, you know, kicked, so on and so forth. Didn't want to brush my teeth. You know, whatever they say, they know they're only two and they already know they're sinners. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows they're not perfect. Everybody. And if you're not perfect, you're not like God, because he said, be ye perfect as I'm perfect. Be ye holy as I'm holy. Be ye righteous as I'm righteous. Well, if God's the standard for everything, then God is the measure of all things. And you don't have any measure of anything. You're born out of nothing. You're born out of nothing. God just created you out of nothing. He just spoke it, and there you are. But you were born righteous. You had the Spirit of God in you, but the Satan came along, deceived Eve, tricked her by deception, lied to her, and all of a sudden, she lost it and then gave to her husband. Because, hey, even though I lost my spirit, I'm gonna make you equal to me. Eat this apple. You'll like it. And boy, he ate that apple without even thought. Yep, that's good. Because he already, you know that if you don't receive glory, if you don't have glory to give to God, doxa, if you don't have glory to give to God, you'll seek to give him something that he deserves for his name's sake. He doesn't want anything. He has everything. How many know God has everything? Everything is a word from God. Everything is a gift. Everything is free. So this idea of bad guys and good guys is an illusion. There aren't any good guys. Nobody ever has pleased God by their life. Nobody. Here's the Bible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And to Christians, he says these words. If you say you have no sin, you make God a liar. The Christian church today has sin galore, but they don't want to see it. They're not interested in seeing their sin. They don't want to be naked. They don't want to be naked. They want to be clothed with their own righteousness. They don't want to have God's righteousness. But God wants you, if you don't receive glory from God, because his glory is everywhere. This son of man, Ezekiel, he received glory. He saw the glory. Oh, it says, did Isaiah, did Daniel, did everybody. All the prophets in the Old Testament saw the glory of God. And so the glory of God is he loves you. That's the glory. The glory isn't that he's nice. The glory is nice, but that's not the glory. The glory is he loves you. He loves you and wants to transform you, not just give you a new heart, but also a new soul and also a new body in this world. In this world. And so he wants to give you everything so that you'll be happy here and safe here. So that when men see your good works, they'll give glory to your Father in heaven. So how many know that you have no excuse if you say, well, okay, I tried. That's not in the Bible. Try your best. How many know that's not the Ten Commandments? Try your best, try your best, try your best, try your best. No. It isn't trying, it's you have to be righteous. You have to be, he's the standard. If God is the measure of all things, you don't measure up to God's standard. So people are miserable. They're not only, you're not. I'm not talking about you. Because you're happy, right? She's smiling. Yeah. Because little kids haven't grown up. That's the problem. You have grown up? Amen. Praise God. Well, you're way ahead of us. You were way ahead of us. So anyway, God wants you to know you have a happy life now on earth. I have it. I already have it. I already have it. I'm happy every day, all the time. I'm just like Lucy. Just like you. Two of us. Two. Woohoo! I love it. So can you be happy in this rotten world? Yes, I can. Why? Because I have Jesus. Because I have Jesus. If I have Jesus, I have everything. If I have Jesus, if he gives me Jesus, he freely gives me all things. If you got Jesus, you get everything. If you got Jesus, you have everything. You're not going to hit it. You already have it. It doth not yet appear. I know that. But you already have it now. You are being. You have a new being. New creation. So this strength is something easy just in the word Ezekiel. You can get it. My God is my strength. Or God is my strength. Or God is our strength. Doesn't matter. So if that's true, then we're all happy all the time. Amen? You can say it. Just say it by faith. You don't have to see it. You just say it. I'm happy all the time. Boy, this is the best day of my whole life. Yeah, it's going to get better and better and better. Why? Not because you don't have problems. Not because you don't have troubles. You caused all those. You caused all those. You caused them all because you didn't believe in Jesus. If you just believe, then you have faith, and he counts that as righteous. Yeah, that's it. That's what I was saying. I'm righteous, and now you're righteous just like me, and I count that. Even though you didn't feel it, didn't understand it, you didn't even want it, I just said it's true, and you believed. I count that. I'm counting that. So how many know that there are sinners in our midst? There are sinners in our midst. I could point them out. There's three or four. Mostly on this side. Mostly on this side. So, mostly on this side. As a matter of fact, right here in the family. And so, it's not a problem. We can laugh at all our problems. Just turn our back on the problem and say, no, not my problems. Jesus died on the cross for me. Wow. Then you've been forgiven. Then he's cleansing you from all unrighteousness, and then he's going to perfect you in love, and then, wow, you're going to be a bride without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. You'll marry Jesus. You'll get your eternal life. You get a crown on your head. Wow. And then you'll be the new heaven and the new earth, and you'll live forever and ever and ever and world without end. Woo-hoo! Glory. Now, that doesn't make any sense, and that's why Jesus' sermon didn't work out, because people didn't believe that. They believe this world stinketh. It's not good. And the older you get, the more you realize, well, I'm getting close to death. I don't know if I've done everything right. And, you know, you didn't. You don't have to even think about it. You didn't. You did not do anything right. But let's say you didn't do anything right, or you did everything wrong, and let's say Jesus forgave you. Well, you got pardoned. You got pardoned. You got pardoned. And you could do that while you're alive. You don't have to even wait till you're dead. You don't even have to face death. You could already have joy unspeakable and full of glory on earth. So the unconditional love of God can reach you on earth, because he never wanted any human being, no matter who they are. They can be Muslim. They can be Al-Qaeda. They can be anything they want to be. You love them with all your heart, soul, strength. Right? So, people can hate me, but I don't hate them for hating me. I pray for them. I bless them. I love them. I forgive them. And I never curse them. Why? I can't. Jesus said, that's not you, Jim. It isn't. Read the word. Oh, yeah, I say that. The love of God's been spread abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit is spreading all the manure on the field, and you're the field. You're the field. He's spreading manure on you, and that manure doesn't hurt you at all. It actually becomes, you know, something rich, full of all kinds of things that I need. You have to be patient, though, because you don't see it until Jesus comes. But when you see it, you realize, wow, I made a good decision. A lot of knees are going to bow and a lot of tongues are going to confess. Everyone, 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 everyone. Everyone's going to say that someday. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. I was wrong to be a Buddhist. Sorry. So I was wrong. You better shrink back. So they shrink back to try to find rocks to hide themselves. They're hiding in caves and so on. They said, no, no, don't get me. I'm guilty. Okay, I'm guilty. That's the first time they saw that they were naked, because they didn't have God's righteousness for them on their side. If God be for you, who can be against you? Nobody. Nobody. If God is for you, nobody can be against you. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Praise God. I'm glad Clay is here. Thank you. Amen. You needed that first part. You needed that first part. Get that tape and listen to it over and over again. You know, because he's a naughty boy. But did you know Jesus loves you? Did you know Jesus loved Clay? I mean, if there's hope for Clay, there's hope for anybody. Amen? I could pick out anybody here, including David. I don't know if David, you're a saint? But I'll hit that right answer. That's a great answer. David, are you a saint? You going to take it? Take it. Too powerful. God made it so simple. This is not a complicated religion. This is where Jesus does it all and you do nothing. Jesus does it all, you do nothing. You just be yourself. Be yourself. Just be yourself. Don't even clean up. Don't even fix up. Don't even look good. Don't do a makeover. Don't do anything. Be yourself. What are you? Sinner. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody has sinned. I tell you, there's not a person alive that hasn't sinned one time, every nanosecond. So, did you realize most of this world is dead? I mean, they're dead. In the eyes of God, they're dead. Why? Because they didn't have faith. They didn't believe this word. But I believe this word. I don't know whose Bible this is. Danny Parrish. So, this Bible has everything I need. It's an unseen world, but it's real to me, more real than anything here on the earth. That's why I had to be disillusioned. I don't have any illusionment about sin. I don't have any illusionment about me being good. I don't have any illusionment about me stopping sinning. I can't. I just can't. If you have an addictive sin, and what other kinds are there? If you have an addictive sin, and what other kinds are there? And you just can't even, you just can't cure the cold. I mean, there's just things you can't do. You're limited. You are dependent upon God to give you life and life more abundantly. Now, you have life because you have a new heart. But more abundantly means he also can give you a new soul as soon as it's dead, and then a new walk, a new body, a new behavior. He can give you that in this world before he comes back. You don't have to wait for heaven. You don't have to wait for the millennium. You can just do it today because you are sons of God right now. It's not just coming. It's already here, but it's only here. But that heart has to work out because the kingdom of God is within you, but it's coming out of you so that when men see your good works, they'll give glory to the Father in heaven. And they know it. That's God. You must be a son of God. Because and they thought that of Daniel. You the spirit of the gods living in you. This was a king, a pagan king. He saw that in Daniel, made him the chief guy. And you know that every kingdom that's ever been on the earth, there's only six: Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. That's it. No China. No India. Nothing. There it is. And so the gospel needs to go to all those places that they're not going to be kingdoms. Their name is wiped out. I want to talk about three kingdoms today: Ammon, Moab, and Edomites. which is Esau's. That's Esau. That's Esau. So, you remember Jacob and Esau? Well, Jacob is blessed because he stole. He stole the blessing and he stole the birthright from his brother just for a bowl of soup. How many here have sold your soul to the devil for a bowl of soup? And you've just made yourself worthless because you sold it for a bowl of soup, something here that has no lasting value. And so everyone has done that. I mean, I don't care what you think. You've all done that. Everybody here wants pleasure. And you'll get pain. I tell you, I just wait for people to, you know, say, I'm looking for pleasure. Yahoo! I say, that's great. Give it with all your heart. I mean, go for it. Do it to the hilt. Sin boldly. You're going to go for that? Give it. And I know in a few weeks you'll be back. I know it won't be many years you'll be back because you'll be broken because all you find is pain. You seek pleasure, you get pain. You seek pleasure, you seek happiness, it's not in this world. It's from heaven. It's only from heaven. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord. That's me. Is that you? Is that you? Is that you, Tommy? Is that you?
Absolutely.
You got it from heaven?
Amen.
Same place I got it from.
There's plenty of it up there.
There's plenty of it. For everybody?
Anybody who wants it is willing.
Right.
Willing.
Amen. Everybody that hears the word of God could be willing. Did you know that you can't make yourself believe in that? It comes by a miracle. It comes by a miracle. You can read the words, but lots of people read the words and aren't born again. Or lots of people are born again and never get sanctified. Or lots of people get even sanctified, but they're not purified, perfected in love. Our problem is that we think today, if you get born again, it's over. No, it's not. That's just the doorway. That's not a wall. It's a doorway. That's not the end. That's the beginning. Happy is the man. Happy is the man that finds truth. Did you want truth or did you want happiness? What would you rather have, truth or happiness? It's a trick question. If you want truth, the truth is Jesus. So if you want truth, that actually is Jesus. That actually is Jesus. I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. I am everything. Everything you wanted, I have it. And I have the gift, the strength, to give it to you. I can give it to anyone I want. So he just gives out his word, and if you believe his word and you trust in him, you got it. But the trust in him and the believing his word is a gift. Those are gifts. Those are gifts. Can't say, well, I believe it in my head. No, 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 you can't believe it in your head. Well, I understood what you said. No, it's not a matter of understanding. Reason doesn't get anyone to heaven. Well, I have a good mind. God gave it to me. Yeah? Did he give it to you with flesh tied to it? Well, I don't know. Well, there's flesh in everybody that's a professor, that's interesting, that's learned. They're completely vain and stupid and proud. And so I found out going to Yale doesn't help anything. Everything they taught me, they taught me, even in college, they taught me psychology as a science. So I studied it. And they said, Eve had three personalities. That's what they said. And so the answer on the test was three. But I said, there's 17. Because I'm smart. I'm very smart. And so I said, I've isolated 17. And so the guy gave me a bad grade. Well, I don't want a bad grade. So I complained to the dean of the school. Dean Arbaugh. He was the dean. I said, Dean, I want to say something. I want to quit psychology because I answered everything correctly until it came to that thing about Eve, and I presented to him the truth about that. And I said, if they can imagine things, I can imagine more. So it's just imagination. And I have no stake in it. I'm not trying to be a Christian or something. I just simply can see it. Well, that's wrong. There's other ways to look at it. Well, the professor didn't like me being independent like that. How many know college doesn't reward you if you don't give the answer the professor wanted? And so the dean said, close the door. Uh-oh, he's going to kick me out of school. He closed the door, and he said, I agree with you. Because he was the philosophy professor. And he wanted me to study all the philosophies. And, you know, he was the professor. So I said, okay, what do you teach? So you're not going to boot me out? No, I agree with you. I totally agree with you. So that is not a science. Wow. So he is destroying the scientific method. He's destroying all that. That is not the truth we're after here. But try philosophy. So I studied, you know, Plato. I studied everything you can possibly, all of them. I studied them all. And I realized philosophy stinks also. Because the Bible says philosophy is a vain deceit. The same thing Eve had. The devil beguiled me. He deceived me. He tricked me. And God said, why'd you listen? Oh, no. Well, you should have asked your husband at least. He's an idiot. He doesn't know anything. And so she was deceived, and Adam didn't have an excuse. He just ate it. He just simply ate it. That's good to me. And so they both lost their spirit. Now the spirit's gone. They're not spiritual people. Jesus Christ restored that in you. Jesus Christ restored that in you. And for 1,000 years and then another 1,000 years, that was gone. And so the whole world has been lost ever since Adam and Eve. They're into all their religions. God tried to restore it through Abraham, but even the Jewish people, when they got Moses, skipped Abraham. Let's do the law. Get rid of God. Did you know that if you do the law, it's a neat way of saying, hey, God, I did your law the best I could. Well, he didn't say that. He said, be perfect. Nobody ever did. Nobody, no Jewish person ever kept the law. Nobody is perfect. You can't perfect yourself. Well, I had some self-help books that I found in the library, and it said how to be a better husband. I read it, and she divorced me. Just try this trick. It doesn't work. Did you know you can't perfect yourself? Nobody can perfect themselves on this earth. So how do you get perfected? God. He's the only one that can perfect you. He gave you your old heart, now he can give you a new one. He can do anything he wants. How many know God is not limited? We're all relative to him. Remember Adam said these words, it's hard to be perfect. But he said it this way, Adam, where are you? Remember that? Adam, where are you? God knows everything. So why did he come into the garden and ask Adam where he was? He knew exactly where he was. But he wasn't talking about where are you. Wasn't talking about that. He means, where are you with respect to me now that you've eaten of the apple and have sinned against me, the very tree I said not to eat of, you've eaten of it. You nourished yourself on this world's solutions to everything. And therefore, the world is doomed. So anytime you're a humanist, anytime you're man-made, anytime you think man is the measure of all things, you are wrong. TCU doesn't know it. SMU doesn't know it. Nobody knows truth. They talk about it, talk, worthless. You have to do it. You have to have the strength. You have to be Ezekiel. So he named three. Ammon. You know how Ammon came to be? That was Lot's wife. She became a pillar of salt because she disobeyed God when he said, don't look back. Don't look back at the things you had. Don't look back at the well-watered valley. Don't look back. And she did, and she turned into a pillar of salt. So the daughters that were born to him wanted to have relations with their father, and then that created the Ammonites and the Moabites. And that's where the when Israel came into the land, they went through the Moabite, the middle group. North, Ammon, middle, Moab, south, Esau. But Esau didn't come from Lot's daughters. It came from what? Where did Esau come from? Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau. So that was Isaac's two boys. And they hated each other, especially the one son he hated. He hated his brother because his brother stole the birthright. And then now he's the firstborn. That's wrong. And then he got mad at that just for a bowl of soup. I traded my whole eternal life for a bowl of soup. How many here have sold your life for a bowl of soup or for alcohol or for workaholic or for any addiction? You can be addicted to anything. You can make an idol out of anything. You can join church and state together anywhere, because all religions are just simply submitted to the state. Here in Texas, it's the same. Our documents say Christians are free. Religious freedom. Everybody talks about it. Religious freedom. But there's no freedom because you received a benefit from the government. They've made you a beneficiary of their kindness. So you have to thank them. Well, thank you. Thank you. We have an exemption on our local tax exemption. We have our state incorporated. We're incorporated into the world. And then we get 501c3 on our donor list and so on and so forth. Everybody here, we qualify because we have that 501c3 and we have the, you know, we belong to the state. We're now creatures of the state. And they regard you as creatures. Don't think the government doesn't know who you are. They know you're a hypocrite. You are not Christians. You're not Christians. And so every church in town and throughout the whole state and throughout the whole world is part of the government, whether it's Russia or here. It doesn't matter where you are. The church may be spiritually words, may be spiritually minded and have words, but in fact, the government controls you. All they want is control over you. They don't want the state to ever be threatened by Christians or by anybody. So they want to make sure Buddhism and Hinduism and all those are just political entities. They belong to the state. And the state doesn't want you foaming a rebellion against them, be treasonous. So they like to keep the power, and they've never proven that it's not in the Bible that our kingdom is not of this world. They know it's there. They don't even want anyone to challenge them. They're afraid of it. They don't want to have a war. Remember, Europe was full of wars like that. Boy, in Europe, if you weren't Catholic in the right place, you had to go to the next town, another one that was Lutheran or Calvinist or some other deal, or Quaker or Baptist. You know, so they all came here. And they thought, wow, we're in America. Now we can persecute the other Christians. That's what Christians did in Massachusetts. They did that in Connecticut. They did that everywhere they went. Now that the Anglican Church here in Virginia will persecute the Quakers, cut off their noses, you know, dunk them in the pool, whatever. And if you're innocent and we dunk you and we hold you down for a few minutes and then we come up, if you're innocent, you'll live. If not, we'll just dunk you again. We finally find out you're guilty. And once they're down there, it's real hard to breathe. I mean, most people can't, you know, 5 minutes or something like that. It's hard, unless you're a swimmer in the ocean or something. It's hard. So people, they all died, and they said, well, it was a witch. That was a bad person, and so on, so forth. So the whole world is full of man dominating men. We didn't get glory from men. And by the way, Jesus said, I don't receive glory from men. He said that clearly. I don't receive anything from you. I don't receive worship from you. I don't receive anything from you. I don't want your good works. I don't want anything from you. I want to give. I don't want to receive. So anything that you do that you think is good, I reject. I want to do it for you because I love you, and I love you unconditionally. So I don't want you to do anything that disrupts God's program. God himself will provide the lamb, the only lamb. There is no other. For a burnt offering. And that burning is really important. Otherwise, you don't avoid the fire later, the lake of fire. So, this, I like it that he names these three implacable enemies of Israel. Remember when they came into the land under Moses? He said, now there's three people that I don't want you to fight. Everyone else you can fight and overthrow. But these three people, Ammon, Moab, and Seir. I don't want you to do those because they're relatives. And I have a special way of dealing with them that I don't want you to take matters in your own hands. Let whatever they say to you, do it or just go around them. But don't have any dealings with them. So they didn't. But they later regretted it because when then they were taken over by Nebuchadnezzar and he destroyed their temple, the temple of God, the temple of God, the holy temple, Solomon's temple, he destroyed that. And then they laughed, just like Muslims do in other countries. They laugh when they see the Christians, or they do it in Russia. You laughed your head off. Christians are getting it. How many know the anti-Christian spirit is alive in this world? The anti-Christian. I mean, if you're a Christian somewhere, you might think you're doing good, but only if America backs you up. Because if we don't, and all the others, you know, they're pro-Muslim or pro-everything because they're humanists and they want to be loving and kind and so on, like the new Pope and all that stuff. Well, there's no hope in the Pope. That rhymes. I don't know if you can pick that up. And so, you don't have any hope in this world because they're all humanists. They're all man-made. So God wants you to realize, don't do anything because after I judge each of those nations, because they cursed you, so therefore if you curse someone, if you curse Israel, oh, you're going to be cursed. That was in Abraham's sevenfold covenant with God. Curse Israel, you'll be cursed. Bless Israel, you'll be blessed. Well, America wants to bless, and so Trump is the only one that said, hey, they're all talking about it, but nobody's doing it. I'm going to do it. Boy, everyone, you know, was mad at him for doing that. We'll throw riots, we'll do anything, blah, 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 blah. Oh, well, you know. Clinton tried to do it, and he talked about it, but he didn't do it. Bush tried to do it, and so on tried to do it. They didn't do it, but nobody fears God. I do. We're doing it. There it is. I mean, it's just in a second. You just, yeah, that's it. They're in the Bible? Yeah, they're all right. If they're in the Bible, they're all right. And so it's not wrong to bless Israel. So they have a bright future. And after he gets done with the great tribulation, which two-thirds of them will die, period, into the lake of fire, boom. But then he will save one-third of them, and they'll be the priests. Because priests understand mercy. How many know you're only a Christian because of the mercy of God? Not because of the law of God. The law of God is over. The law of God, over. It's over. It's over. You cannot nullify the promise that was 430 years prior to Abraham. You can't nullify that later by the law. The law can't overthrow the promise. The promises are great. Why? Because God always intended to use the law to have Jesus killed. Jesus kept the law, and then he was killed. That was for your sake. That was for you. He did that for you, so you'll never face the second death. His death is your death. Wow. Then, not only that, why he rose from the dead, here's why, so he could live in you. He's not just in heaven eating grapes. He's up there, not watching color TV. He's there with his iPad. No, he's not. He knows everything. He's, you know what? He loves you so much that he's showing you your sin, your nakedness. That you say you're a Christian, but you're not. You have the name, but you're not have the reality. I want you to be believers that say, no sin. No sin. Amen. How many can say that? No sin. Because Christians will say something like this. That they'll say, well, I tried my best. That won't get you in. I was a pastor. That won't get you in. I went to Yale. That won't get you in. I tell you what, it has nothing to do with your brains or will or anything. It's just you can't do good. Only God is good. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. No one else is good but God. No one else is good but God. Sounds like no one else is good but God. And if no one else is good but God, then God is the only actor in this universe. And if that's true, if he's the only actor, you can't do anything to please him because he's already pleased because he loves you just the way you are. Be yourself. How many know that if you be yourself, you might sin? It's just a slim possibility, but you might sin. As a matter of fact, the only thing that makes you not sin is the salt. So he called you not the salt of the world. He called you the salt of the earth because the earth belongs to God permanently. And he'll say when it's over, and he'll say when the new heaven and the new earth begin. You don't have anything to do with anything. You didn't create yourself. And you can make a decision all day long to believe in Jesus, but that doesn't mean you do, because he actually knows your heart. He knows what the motives are of your heart. And so God says, I want Christians that actually don't do anything so that I can clean them up. I forgave them. Now I want to clean up the ones I forgave. And then after that, I want to perfect them in love. And then after that, I want to marry them. And then after that, I want to give them eternal life. And then after that, I'll give them a crown for their head. That's the prize. And when we're in heaven, we will throw our crowns before the Lord to say, even though this crown is on my head because I'm a priest king, I'm still going to honor God with everything. Honor him, not because I'll go to heaven. I'm already in heaven. But because I recognize everything comes from God. God is the measure of everything. God is the measure of you. You are just like Jesus. You are just like Jesus. And that won't come until Jesus comes back again. So today you are, but you have to do it by faith. But tomorrow you'll see it. Tomorrow you'll see it. In other words, whenever tomorrow is. So doing away with someone, because God said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't you be vengeful toward these people, even though they abuse you, even though they laugh at you, even though they mock you. Happy are you if they do so, because I'll take care of them my own way. And you know what he's going to do? Every nation on earth, every nation on earth, the kings of the earth has to learn one thing. They're not kings. They're kings under God. Just like David said, my Lord said to my Lord, I have a Lord, and then he said to my Lord. So that was the Father said to the Son, this day I have begotten you. This day, the day that he was born on earth, he was already crucified way before that. Then 30 years later, at 33, he then was killed. But he was actually crucified before the foundation of the world. It says so in the Bible. So since he was already crucified before that, God's intention is very clear. He always wanted to bless everybody at all times. Even though you sinned, he forgave the sin, put Jesus on the cross. Jesus then died for you. Now you're a new creation, and nobody can take it away. Mary hath chosen the better part, not Martha. Not Martha. So what's going to happen to Martha? Don't you believe God is good? Maybe he likes Martha too. Maybe the prodigal son is as much loved, and so is the older brother. Maybe he loves them both. Maybe God loves everybody. I know he does. But I don't know how that is, because if you're an unbeliever, you might not get in, and you might. I have no idea how that works. All I know is I'm in. That's all I care about is, am I in? Am I one of your beloved? right? And he said, yes. Did you have faith? Yeah. Where did you get that? From you. So otherwise you wouldn't make it? No. So are you a good person? No. I read your book. I'm just saying what you said to say. So you don't think you're any good? No, I'm not. I'm evil. I'm nothing. I'm a zero. That's right. Okay. I love you, Jim. Come and give me a kiss. Give me a kiss. Mwah. I'll see you in heaven. So I'm in heaven. How many are in heaven? I'm already there. I haven't seen it, but I already believe in it. I'm already in heaven. So if anything happens when people die, I'm not disturbed. I know God is so good. He's loving and kind. I'm not even going to try to think what he would do or wouldn't do. I just leave it alone. If it's not written in the Bible, I'm not saying it. If it isn't said in the Bible, I'm not saying it. Well, what about, I don't answer those questions. I can't. I don't have any authority. All I have is the Bible. So, well, how do you know? I don't know anything. I'm ignorant. And I don't want to be ignorant, so I read the Bible. That's the way. If you read the Bible every day, it'll change your life. You got to read it every day. How many read it every day? About one-third of you. I'm going to say it again. How many read it every day? Let's see. Okay, how many read it once a year? Okay. So I needn't pursue this point. The point is, just read it. And you can't get it in sermons, because sermons won't get it. You've got to have your own journey with God, and you read, it's God's word. This is God speaking to you personally, not just in a church like this. The church doesn't save you. The church does not save anybody. You're the church. It's not a building. The church doesn't save anybody. It's only you, yourself, have to get in individually. And he loves you as an individual. He's never going to change his mind. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. So I like the way God treats his enemies. Bless them. Pray for them. Love them. Forgive them. Just do good to them. Don't do anything evil and don't curse them. They belong to me. I'll take care of them. But I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how God does it. I don't want to know. I'm not even curious. Well, how do you know what's going to happen? I don't. I only am concerned about me. I mean, no, you need to take care of yourself first, because you can't love your neighbor unless you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. So I love you as I wish to be loved by y'all, whether you do it or not. And I'm not going to stop that. I'm not going to stop it. So I'm not saying what's politically correct or spiritually correct. I'm just saying what Jesus said. What is that? Love everybody. That's how we know. I hope you're blessed today. I just stirred you up. It's simply I get paid to do it, and I just do it. I just do it. It's not because I know anything. It's that I know Jesus Christ, who likes me. And we love because he first loved us. So that's why I love you. I love you. I love with all my heart and soul and strength. I just say that by faith. And I don't really care what you really look like. And I don't care what sins you sin. That's secret things. I don't even know about them. And I don't care about them. My wife does, so don't be around her. She caught me this morning saying something wrong. I said, this was in Dallas. She's sitting in the back room. But she can hear everything. She knows everything I do. I said, what was I saying? Peggy, where are you? She's in the kitchen? Okay, she can hear me. But the point is, I said, so the Jews, I don't remember what I said, but whatever it was wrong. And I was supposed to say, the Jews said, we have no king, and there's King Jesus they're going to kill. We have no king, but, and then whatever I said was wrong. And she said later, Jim, you just said something wrong. What? This is on tape. She said, this tape is going to go all over the world, and you want that wrong thing to be on there? No, what did I say? You didn't say Caesar. You were supposed to say Caesar. Oh, Caesar. And then she corrected me. Isn't that great to have a wife that sees all your flaws? That's incredible. I love that. Love that. That's her whole position, is to, if any flaw in a man, a wife will just know. She just has intuitive knowledge. People, Peggy, did you get that from the Bible? No, but I just know. You didn't get that from the Bible? Yeah, what I did get from the Bible is you're supposed to bless me and you're not supposed to do anything wrong. Get the burden, give me the blessing. Oh, is that the only sermon you remember? I was just saying what the Bible said. How many know that the Bible is your measure? The Bible measures everybody. This Bible is the Word of God. It's written Word of God, but it always speaks about the living Word of God. Written Word of God, but it always speaks about the living Word of God. So my faith in Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, is active in love. Not me. Not my faith. My faith is not active. My faith in Jesus Christ, who is active in love toward me and toward everybody. Ah, let Jesus do it all. Did you hear what I just said? Because I know what it says. It says faith is active in love. What it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. I'm giving you the true interpretation. The true interpretation is your faith in the Bible, which talks about the living Word of God, because that's all it talks about. Jesus even said to the Jews, you search the Bible because you think that in them you have eternal life? It is they that bear witness of me, John 5:39. And so, everything in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus, 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 Jesus. That's all it says. So I just short circuit and say Jesus. I mean, all my answers, Jesus. Because I just say what the Bible says, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus is the answer. So all the bad problems you have, I laugh at them. I'm not worried about that. Actually, your problem is not your problem. Your problem is that you think there's a problem. There isn't a problem. You need Jesus. All you need is Jesus. Well, I feel blah, blah, blah. Well, I don't care what you feel. It's Jesus. Jesus. And say that with joy. I don't want to. People are funny. Aren't people funny? Stubborn, stiff-necked. That's the one Jesus loves. He loves the stubborn and the stiff-necked and the people that sin. He loves you just the way you are. Could anyone say amen?
Amen.
That's good news. I don't know. For me, that's good news. If he loves sinners, I qualify. I'm pre-qualified on that. I think there's two others in here that are like that. Should I point them out? Okay. Let's not point them out, Lucy, because you and I both know not everyone is perfect like we are. But I'm perfect because he said, this is what he said. If any man be in Christ, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Perfect tense. The old is passed away. Present. Perfect present. Perfect. Perfect. Bible never uses perfect except with respect to God. Never uses it. Old Testament, New Testament. Perfect is always God. You're always imperfect under any effort you make. But God forgives it. So you're now perfect. So I can say that right now. I'm perfect. Could you all say that? I'm perfect. I'm perfect. You can even look at somebody and say, you're a saint of God. You can do it because Jesus makes us all perfect. So the best is yet to come. All right. I need a prayer. I need a prayer right here. So David, would you pray? I just wanted to.